Hey y'all. Oh my gosh. Woo! It's been a minute, y'all. And we're back. Welcome to another episode of Truth Therapy. My name is Ingrid, and I'll be your host here today. Y'all, I'm kind of nervous because it's like, oh my gosh, it's been a minute since I've talked to you guys. And I have to update you guys on life. But before I do so, y'all, I just have to testify on how good God is. And I just want to say this before I even continue, but it's really nothing that we can do to deserve God's goodness. And this testimony is just crazy to me on how fast everything happened. So, y'all, first off, okay, I'm gonna just update about my life, like what's been going on first, and then I'll testify, well, lead up to what happened to me in the past week. So, y'all, was my birthday, and I traveled a lot, so I wasn't able to really, record episodes last month, and we ended the first season of Truth Therapy also. So I had a great birthday month, y'all. Like, I traveled pretty much the whole month, and it was amazing. All glory to God that I was even able to do that. And it was just really amazing. But in the midst of all of that, I pretty much got into a hit and run last month also. In the midst of me traveling, and I felt like, oh my gosh, like, it was such an inconvenience, y'all. And I didn't even have time in the moment to even deal with it, but a car hit me and it continued on. So fast forward, I had to fix my car. It's March. Let me see. So fast forward to March. I'm back in town. I have to deal with my car. And so in March, I believe it was in March, it had to be between the end of February to the beginning of March when I got my car fixed. It was the first week of March. So I go and get my car fixed, and it took a week. It took about 8 days for me to get my car back. I got my car back on March 10th, I was supposed to get my car back on the 12th, but I ended up getting it. No, I was supposed to get it back on the 13th, and I ended up getting it early. On March 12th, I have this dream that I'm going to get a new car. And it was going to be the same model, but it was going to be a new car. And in the dream, I was like, oh my gosh, I just fixed my car. Like, did I just do this for no reason? But whatever. I was able to get a new car. And God showed me the logo of, come to find out, whoever had my car previously, because my last car was a pre-owned. Whoever had my car previously, I could see their logo imprinting on each part of the seat. So my interpretation of the dream was, whoever had my car previously, I don't know if my car was attached to something or whatever it was. So God, you know, did it. And I remember waking up from that dream, and I told my best friend also, like, when I did have the dream, like, I had a dream I had a new car. Like, that's so weird. And honestly, I didn't think nothing of it because I literally fixed my car And I still had to continue fixing my car because previously, before I got into my hit and run, the back of my car was a little messed up. It wasn't like major or anything, but I needed to fix my tail light and a part of my bumper. So fast forward, I have this dream. I kind of like brush it off a little bit. On March 16th, I get a call from my dealership telling me that I need to come in for a seatbelt recall, which I felt was kind of weird because I didn't know that they called you for things like that. I didn't really care about, honestly, I was at work. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't even understand what the lady was saying, but she was just telling me I had to schedule a time to come in. She booked an appointment. I was like, okay. And even when I got off the phone, I was like, I wonder if this was fraud because I never knew that that's what they do. So I was a little skeptical about the whole thing. So my first appointment, I wasn't able to make. So I rescheduled for the next week, which was the 22nd of March. So I go in for my seatbelt recall. But prior to me going, my maintenance alert had came on. And normally it'll be like my oil change. So I go in for my recall. And I'm like, okay, this is perfect timing. I have to do maintenance anyway. So I wouldn't feel like I'm wasting my time. So I go and I get checked in and the guy comes back and he's like, okay, like, you know, normally you get, because I get like my oil change and stuff for free. He's like, normally you get these for free, but you'll have to pay. It was about $400 for me to change, like to flush out my engine oil. Something like, it was just a few things. I kind of clocked out at $400 because I still had to fix the back of my car. I was not thinking about, you know, and having to fix, well, not fix, but do maintenance on my car. Plus, you know, like I was, you know, trying to invest in things. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like y'all, like I'm in tears a little bit because I'm like, oh my gosh, like more money. Because I be feeling like when I get money, sometimes inconvenient things come up, and it was just like, oh my gosh. So I was kind of spazzing. So whatever, I was like, okay, like I'll, you know, do what I can. I got, so fast forward, my seatbelt recall was going to take about 2 hours to do. So I already kind of had it in my head. I was like, okay, I could just go inside because I was going to go inside and do some work that I had to do. But I was like, okay, let me go inside first and see if I can get a refinance. So I go inside. I see a man at a desk and I'm like, okay, where can I go to see about refinancing my car? And he was like, do you want to refinance or do you want to change your car? So at this point, I'm like, okay, let's see about both of them. But let's check the change in the car first. So long story short, for my last car, y'all, my last car is a whole testimony in itself. Like, my credit score, y'all, was super, super low when I had walked into the dealership, y'all, for my first car before this car. So for that time, I walked into the dealership. Around that time, I was reading up about faith. Like, I had read up on faith. I was reading Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 3 over and over and over again for days, like in a row. Until I mustered up the strength to go and, you know, exercise crazy faith. Because I think I was also you know, I was in that space of crazy faith. And, you know, sometimes we'd be waiting for God to move, but he'd be waiting for us to move. So I was exercising that. So when I was able to muster up the strength to go and get my car, I was like, okay, God, I'm not going to go with anybody. I made a date that I was going to go with him. And long story, extremely short, my credit score was very, very bad. Like, I walked in there, I was like, I want a brand new car. I want a sports model. But, you know, at that time with my credit score, I was pushing it for real. So I was able to get the car that I wanted, but it was at the time, it was 2021 when I got my car, and I was able to get a 2018 pre-owned, and it was very low miles. So I was like, okay, I was grateful for that. Now, I had in my mind that I may change my car, like when I refinance, but leading up to like this year and me having to fix my car and me getting to hit and run, y'all, I was like, and I would have like random moments where I'm just like, do I really want to switch my car? I'm comfortable. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't have to like switch my car, whatever, whatever. So fast forward to Wednesday, March 22nd. So I sit down and I was telling the guy the testimony from before. I'm like, look, and I even tell y'all, like, I was like, look, my credit score the last time I got my car was a 498. And the man is looking at me like, how did you get a car? And I'm like, I know, like, I wasn't supposed to get a car at all. But, you know, God is good. And I was able to. So I sit down. I show him, he asked me where my credit score is at, and I show him my credit score, and the car that he pitched to me, he was like, okay, we could upgrade your car. You can get a brand new car, no miles, 2022. I can't put you in the 2023. I didn't want the 2023 anyways, because I don't like that model. 2022, the exact color of the car that I want, the exact sports model. It was just like crazy. So he's like, okay, so I'm gonna go and see if we can get this approved, and if you're able to get approved, you can walk out of this place with a brand new car today. Mind y'all, my car is on the other side of the building getting service. So I look at the man and I'm just like, if this happens, like, I'm gonna cry. So I was already emotional from before, so I'm emotional now. I'm like, God, what is happening? Like, everything was moving so fast. So I'm sitting waiting to get approved, and I text my friend, shout out to Lord and Laughs. Shout out to my girls for holding me down, for praying for me. I asked them to pray for me so that, you know, like, everything could go smooth and, you know, God to come through. Now, normally when you know sometimes it just feels like, oh my gosh, am I gonna get it, am I gonna not get it, am I gonna get it? But this time I felt like I was gonna get it because God had already shown me. So I was scared, y'all. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is really, really happening right now. So I start praying myself, and I'm just talking to God. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, this is something I have to tell everybody about. So, y'all, I'm sitting down and randomly I check my email. I check my email to see, like, who they're, you know, what type of loans that they were looking for. Like, the finance people that they were, like, inquiring. So I go and I kind of see, like, one of the things that I saw, it was kind of weird. So I'm like, dang, I'm confused. So I was like, let me go back on my experience to see, you know, like, what's going on, because I don't understand. So I go on my experience, and my credit score from the time that I sat down and I showed the man, which had to be about like 30 to like 40 minutes, like an estimate, jumped up to 111 points. At this point, I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm spazzing. Like, I'm going crazy. I'm like, what? Mind y'all, this is, so, Credit Karma shows you, like, higher scores, but Experian is the most accurate. So, the credit score that went up was my lowest credit score from the three. It was my Experian score. It's Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. It was, like, the one that is very hard to move went up 111 points. I'm like, what? This is crazy. As I'm sitting here, I'm like, this has to be God. Like, it ain't no way. So that happens. And in the midst of that, like, the man had came, he told me I had got approved, but then he started talking to me about putting money down. But in my mind, I already fixated. I'm like, I'm not putting no money down. I'm not putting no money down. Last time I put a lot of money down. And, you know, this time I didn't even come here for a car, a brand new car anyway. So I'm not putting no money down. So the man, he's asking me, he's like, can you put $3,000 down? I'm like, nope. Can you put $1,500 down? I'm like, nope. Can you put $1,000? I'm like, nope. So he just trying to sauce me to like put some money down. He's like, you have to put money down, you know, in order to walk out with a brand new car. And I'm just like, I don't have nothing to put down for you. Like, I'm not putting no money down. Like, and he's like, well, you have to put something down. I'm like, do y'all take a dollar? Like, I'm not putting no money down. So the end of the conversation ended as if like, okay, like, I'm not getting the car. He's like, okay, I'm gonna come back with a number, if you're able to come back with, you know, the number that I come back with, then you can get the car. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So he goes, does whatever he does. So I'm sitting, I'm waiting. It's like, I'm waiting for a little minute. I'm like, okay, like, this should have been an easy process, like, you know, in and out, whatever. So takes a minute, he's walking up, he's like, okay, like, we're still trying. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, trying what? I thought, you know, the conversation was over. So finally he comes back, and as he's coming back, I see something in his hand, and I'm like, what? So he's coming back and he has keys in his hand, and he's like, let's go check out the car, we're getting close in the process. I'm confused because I thought the conversation was over. So that happens, and then he's like, put your stuff down, we're gonna go test drive the car. So we're walking, and we're walking to an area that I didn't even know that they had. The first time I bought my car, that's not where we went. So we went to a garage full of like brand new cars, and we're walking up to the car, and we get to the car, and he looks at me, and he's like, I guess you're walking out with this car today. A brand new car today. And I'm like, stop playing, like, you're lying, y'all. I'm like, what the heck is going on? So that happens, and then I'm in the car, I'm like, what the heck? I look at the man, I'm like, you playing? Like, this can't be for real. So I drive out, and then okay, so after all of that happens, I drive out, I get inside, like, I got tears in my eyes, I'm crying, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Then some man approaches me, goes to the finance, and y'all, I sit down, this man quotes me, he quotes me a very high price for me to be paying monthly. And I'm like, I'm not paying that. Like, I'm not paying that because, first off, I came to lower my payments, and you're pitching me way more than I normally pay a month. So I'm like, I'm not doing that. I told the man, I'm not doing that. And then, so Like, I'm just telling him, like, I'm not doing that. He's going lower and lower and lower and lower. And I ended up calling my twin to help me because the closest thing to, like, a brother to me. So I'm, like, calling him and he's just speaking life into me, you know, letting me know, like, you know this is God, so why are you hesitating and stuff like that? And that happened. So then he advised me on what I should do and how, like, you know, this was like a really great deal that I was getting. So I was like, okay. So as I was outside, I went back inside, and as I sat down, because me and the man was at odds, because I'm like, I'm not paying this. And he was like, well, this is the lowest that we can get. And when I came back, he was like, I have good news. And he was able to even go a little lower. So that was all God, all glory to God. And I walked out of there with a brand new car. And it's so crazy because the first time that I tried to do my faith thing, you know, I wasn't able to get the exact car that I wanted, but that's because God knows best. And even the car that I got, I wasn't even supposed to get with the credit score that I got. And in that time after getting my car, like, I was able to raise my credit significantly. And even just that 111 points jump was just crazy to me because I needed that. So, you know, like, after getting the car, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, even in the midst, I'm like, God, I do not deserve this. Like, I ain't even been rocking with you like that. Like, and you still came through on something that I didn't even ask in the moment. Like, I didn't ask God for a brand new car. Like, I was really comfortable in my car, which is a word, because I was comfortable in the car that I had. And I had threw out the idea of getting a brand new car because I was like, like, you know, like, I'm comfortable. But I was able to get something that I didn't even know that I was able to get. And God came through for me. The process was smooth. Like, it was real smooth. And the fact that I didn't put no money down, y'all. I walked out of there with a brand new car. All glory be to God because he did that. He really did. So I just wanted to share that testimony and to let y'all know, like, as much as we be down on ourselves when we have maybe fallen away, or if we feel like we're not doing enough for God, for him to bless us, it's not true. It's actually nothing that we can do to amount to his goodness, to all the things that he's already done for us. So even in that moment when I did get my car, I'm just like, I don't deserve this. Like, I'm not, I haven't even been rocking with you like I'm supposed to, and you still came through. And it was you, because you showed me this. And at the time, I didn't believe it. I just thought, you know, like, it's a dream. Like, it's a dream. And it didn't make sense because I had just got my car fixed. I had just paid to get my car fixed. I still had to fix the rest of my car. And on top of that, I had to pay more to maintenance my car. So just aside from that testimony, I just want to talk about where I've been in my walk with him. And y'all, like, this is the best way that I can describe where I'm at. I just feel like I'm at the border. You know, like, where there's a border to, like, Mexico, or, like, you know, like, different countries and stuff like that. I feel like I'm there. I feel like I'm close to crossing over, but I'm scared to cross over to who the other side of me that exists. And I just feel like I'm also at a place where the prodigal son, like, I really feel like I'm in that story right now, and that's me. And I just been thinking about it for a few days, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm on a journey right now of coming back home, because in the story of the prodigal son, the father basically splits their inheritance with him and his brother, and, you know, he
ends up blowing all his inheritance, and he goes to like a faraway land. He had went to a faraway land. He blew all his money, and then now like he ended up working with pigs, and to the point he didn't have nothing, to the point where he desired to eat what the pigs was eating. After that happened, what moved him into the process, into the journey of him going back home, was him realizing where he was at. Like, he had a moment of realization, like, dang, like, my father has this. Like, my father has workers that's working, and they're eating better than me. So he's like, I'm just going to go back to my father's house. Now, I know that we hear that story all the time, and it's just like, yeah, you know, the prodigal son comes back. His father is ecstatic to have him back. He doesn't really hold him to what he did, or, you know, like, he's not hesitant, like, oh my gosh, you back? Like, no, he was very excited to the point where he ran to his son. He clothed his son in the best of the best, threw him a feast, threw him a party for coming back home. But I feel like the process of him coming back, that process and how it really is, because it may seem like, okay, like he had that moment and, you know, he made it home. But it's like, no, he had that moment and he had to journey back home. I feel like I'm at that point where he was, where he realized where he was at, like, dang, like I don't have what I used to have, but my father's servants are living better than me. Like, I'm my father's child, and his workers are living better than me. So I might, so to him, he was like, I might as well go. And, you know, even though I left and, you know, my face is not as clean, like, he felt ashamed. Like, he's like, okay, like, I'm gonna go back home, but I'm gonna go back home as a worker. And that's not even how his dad accepted him. His dad didn't accept him as a worker, but his dad accepted him as his son, the son that he was. And he didn't hold him to anything that he had did previously. And oftentimes, you know, if we fall away, or if we feel like, okay, God, like, I'm like, for instance, for me, I'm just like, God, I haven't been rocking with you like that. Like, and I know that, and I know that I could be doing better, and I know that I could be in my word more. I know that I could be praying more. I know that I could be in your presence more. And for that, I feel like I don't have a right to just come back and be a daughter, but that's not true. So in the process of him coming back home, I feel like where I'm at is when he came, this is exactly what it says. It said that he came to his senses. That's where I feel like I'm at. And in the next few episodes, I'm gonna be expounding, and I'm gonna even be going on the journey with you guys with how it is to come back home. Because right now I'm not, you know, 100% there, but I'm getting there. And I remember I was having this conversation with people, but it's like, I feel like when you have a purpose over your life, and when you have a calling over your life, and when you have a word that God has placed over you, you can't go too far. Like, I felt like, I was like, okay, God, like, you know, and I'm pretty sure y'all heard me say this, I feel like I take a break. Like, I don't want to deal with this right now. Like, certain things I don't want to deal with. Like, I just wanted to do me. I wanted to do me. But it came a time where it felt like I couldn't do me no more. Like, it felt like my spirit was like, nah, like, all right, you had your time. That was cute. I just felt like I couldn't go too far. And I was frustrated and mad about that, because it's like, why? Why can't? Like, just
rebellious. But now it's just like me coming to my senses. Like, girl, it's work to be done. Like, what are you doing? And I just want to share this because I had went to a Bible study one time randomly, and in the Bible study, the lady, she was a prophetess. She described exactly what I was feeling, but she expounded on it in a way that I couldn't. And she was just saying, like, when you have, there's times in our life where we may, you know, like, go and be like, okay, God, I'm finna go do my own thing. But before we even did our own thing, God already knew, right? He already knew. But before we even went to go do us, he already sent his word before us. So it comes to a point in time when that word starts to pull you back. It's pulling you back because God already sent that word to perform. And in the word, it says that, you know, his word cannot return void. So whatever word that he placed that's hovering, the way that she demonstrated, it was like a word hovering over us, even as we, you know, was doing our own thing, it's like there was a word hovering over you. So you could not go too far because that word had to return fulfilled. And that's exactly how I was feeling. And so I just thought that was like very, very real. Like, it was very real. God already knew what we was gonna do before we did it. God already knew when we decided that we was gonna do us. But if we're gonna be here, we already had a word. We already was predestined before we came on this earth. God already knew who it was gonna be, what our purpose was, what our assignment was. And so that can't return void. That can't come back to him like empty. So when we're here, we have to fulfill what it is that is gonna take us, not take us, but that's gonna fulfill his word. And so that's where I'm at in my walk right now. And I just want to journey with you guys on this healing journey. Even this, it's not only just coming back home, but just healing, like the process of healing at the same time. Because there's a lot of things that we have to unlearn in the process. We have to, our mindsets have to shift from, our perspectives have to shift from. And on top of coming back home, it's healing back home. So it's just crazy how we can become our biggest enemy. Like, I feel like I've been my biggest enemy from even being to where I need to be. But I just read something today, and it was saying how, it says that, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So just right now, on top of journeying back to God, it's getting out of my own way, because there's nobody standing in my way but me. And until that decision is made to want better for yourself, to want to get closer to God, to want to reach those heights that will take us to that person that God had destined us to be, we just have to know where we are, realize where we are, process through it, and not despise the journey. So, yeah, that that's basically my spiel and where I'm at. And I wanted to talk about something else. Oh, yes, y'all. So recently, and I'm gonna end it like this. Recently, there was a video sent in a chat that I'm in, and I just thought that this was like amazing, because sometimes we think that in order for us to be in God's good graces, or in order to follow God, we have to be cleaned up. And even when we fall away, even when we mess up, even when, you know, things, we're doing things that we're not supposed to do, we feel like, okay, God, let me, because I had this mindset and I know that it's not right, but I, for some reason, be resorting to it. It's like, okay, God, let me get my act together and then I'm going to feel better about coming closer to you, because it's like, I'm filthy right now. It's kind of like you not want to see God in your mess. And it's like, even though he already sees the mess, but you consciously not making him want to see the mess. But it was this video and the man was just saying, do I need a, he was talking about a preacher and someone asking a question, do I have to stop smoking marijuana to follow God or to be a Christian? And he was like, no. And he was just saying, like, when you get in the shower, do you have to get clean before you get in the shower? And I was like, wow, that's just so amazing, because we think that we can get clean and then go in the shower, and it's like the shower is meant to clean you. So just that video just reminded me how much being in his presence is important, because his presence changes things. And in that video, he was also saying, like, when you get to know God, when you're you're getting to know somebody, the transformation comes. It's like somebody not knowing who I am, but they're interested in knowing who I am. And they're like, I'm going to change before I even meet her. But it's like, you don't even know me. Like, you don't even know what to change until, you know, like if somebody was trying to court me, it's like, you don't need to change. It's gonna happen. Like, so it's the same thing with God. I don't know if that was even a good example, but it's the same thing with God. It's like, you want to know God, like when you start to get to know God, and the more that you know him, the more that you love him, the more that you fall in love with him, the person that you are in love with changes you. Something about them changes you for the betterment. And I'm not talking about change where it's like, well, it is that change, because sometimes you don't recognize who you are, but it's a good change. So it's like, that reminded me, even where I am in my walk, I'm not new to the faith. I'm not newly walking in this, but even when I mess up, even when I fall away, even when I'm not perfect, because I'm never going to be perfect, God is not waiting for me to be cleaned up for him to use me. God is not waiting for me to be this perfect Ingrid before he'd be like, okay, like, you're usable now. And it's like, if God had to wait for us to clean ourselves up, he would never be able to use us, because we would be holding on to our mess. We'll be holding on to our faults. We'll be holding on to our mess ups. And it's like, the purpose of Jesus is to transform you. So if you are waiting to transform yourself before you get to the transformer, you're never gonna get there, because you can't do it. You can never do it. If we was able to clean ourselves up, we would have did it a long time ago. We would not need God, to be honest. And we would be able to always clean ourselves up when we got dirty. And it's like, we don't have, our human nature is not about that. Like, it's not about cleaning up. It's our spirit, the spirit that's inside of us that transforms us. And so I'm just going to leave with this. Like, I just know that the presence of God changes things, and that's where the transformation will happen. And so, again, like, these next few weeks, I'm just going to be journeying with you guys. Like, I don't have all the answers, but I will share with you guys the revelations that I get, the things that I'm doing. Like, even now, like, my therapist has been helping me with being more action-based versus me just saying what I'm going to do. And that's really been helping me, especially in a way that she's giving me space to, like, okay, like, when you come back, like, I need to hear some actions that you're doing. And it's, like, getting me on point. And it's, like, I've been reading books, like, on just, like, right now I'm reading a book. It's called The Mountain Is You. And it's been getting me together, y'all. And it's just going through, like, you know, things that I picked up on, habits, behaviors that I picked up on, and just unraveling them and unlearning them. And yeah. So, and just writing more. Like, there's certain things that we may have neglected that actually helps us. And that's been my problem. Like, things that actually help us, we run away from, and it just doesn't make sense. It never does. So it's like, just writing more, journaling more of my thoughts, and just working on doing actions versus just thinking about them, think about what I could be doing, or talking about what I could be doing. So yeah. We're back, y'all. We're back. And I will see you guys, not physically, but y'all get what I mean. I see you guys on the next episode. Thank you guys for listening. And I'll talk to you guys later. Later, y'all.